This is Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, your daily voice in Washington, D.C. on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. And now, here's your host, Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Merry Christmas and welcome to Washington Watch. Coming up on today's edition, the United Nations General Assembly passing a resolution today calling on President Donald Trump to withdraw his decision to recognize Jerusalem as Israel's capital. Retired Israeli Ambassador Yoram Ettinger, who served as a minister for congressional affairs at Israel's embassy in Washington, will join us for that discussion. Then we'll go to Bethlehem to talk with our good friend, Dr. Naim Khoury. He is an Arab Christian. He is the pastor of First Baptist Church Bethlehem. Talk about a pretty neat setup, being the pastor of First Baptist of Bethlehem. He's going to talk with us. And then we'll join our good friend Congressman Ted Poe. He represents the 2nd Congressional District of Texas and is the chairman of the House Foreign Affairs Committee's Terrorism, Nonproliferation, and Trade Subcommittee. Let me again remind you, we're in our year-end match. So that if we're just a little bit short, so if you can partner with us, that would be great. Give us a call, 800-225-4008. Anything you give between now and the end of the year will be doubled by a generous donor. You can also give online at TonyPerkins.com. And while you're there, be sure and check out all the resources we have available for you. And if you're on Twitter, it is at T. Perkins. All right, today, the United Nations General Assembly, by a vote of 128-9, passed a resolution basically telling the United States they were out of line by recognizing Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. Now, it is a non-binding vote. President Trump and his administration saying they're taking names of those who voted against us. Joining us now, Yoram Ettinger. He is a former ambassador here in Washington, D.C. for Israel. He regularly publishes the Ettinger Report, a lot of good information from a standpoint of understanding the Middle East and Israel's role and its relationship with the United States. Yoram, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thank you very much, and Merry Christmas.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Good to hear your voice. Look forward to seeing you maybe this spring when we're over in Israel. Let me get your response to this vote by the United Nations.
Well, the vote should not surprise anyone. The vote reflects what the UN is all about. And what it is all about is just like its name suggests, untrustworthy, it's unreliable, and certainly it's not worthy or unworthy of the very generous U.S. Support. Here is the U.S., which provides 22% of the U.N. Budget, and the U.N. turned its back on the United States. In fact, I'm positively surprised that you had some 9 just votes who voted the right way.
And of course, as I mentioned, a non-binding vote, but they're trying to send a message. But you know what? I don't think they understand who they're dealing with because, as you've pointed out, Donald Trump is taking a new approach to foreign policy, especially in the Middle East. You say that he recognizes the complex and inherently brutal reality of the Middle East, and he's approaching it from a different perspective.
Well, absolutely. I think that what we heard from the president 3 days ago is a very refreshing voice coming out of the White House. And after too many years of refusal to deal with reality and succumbing to the pressure of some rogue regimes, succumbing to the voice of superficiality, oversimplification, here is the president of the U.S. recognizing the real nature of the Middle East, the real priorities of the Middle East, highlighting the decision by this president to stop apologizing and stop appeasing, but instead deal realistically with the threat of Islamic terrorism, with the threat of the Ayatollahs of Iran. And it seems to me that rightly so, this president has decided to act based on America's and not any multinational interest.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Glad to have you with us on this Thursday afternoon. Ambassador Yoram Ettinger, my guest, discussing the UN vote today, the General Assembly calling on the United States to rescind their recognition of Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. And we're also talking about the President Trump's approach to the Middle East, different. Approaching it from a position of strength, and as Ambassador Ettinger said, from really America first principles and our allies. And one of the things that I think needs to be pointed out, and you did in a recent a piece that you put out, in fact, I think it just came out today, regarding the president's foreign policy and national defense. As you point out, that Israel is unique from other, even our other allies in Europe and elsewhere. Like you point out, like unlike Germany, where we have 70,000 troops, South Korea and Japan, where we have 40,000 troops each, Israel does not require U.S. military bases or personnel on its soil for its defense, because you guys do it yourself, and you're one of our key allies there in that region, helping keep stability.
Well, it seems to me that compared to all other countries, Israel by far is America's most reliable, most effective, certainly battle-tested, but mostly the most unconditional ally of the U.S. We don't zig and zag when it comes to our relations with the U.S. We are taken, we could be taken for granted, because we do not shop in any other shop but in the shop of the United States. But more than that, the president highlighted a few major goals of his policies. Some of them are the innovation and cyber technology, as well as improved missile defense. On all those fronts, Israel has been very, very productive ally of the U.S., partaking in mutually beneficial ventures. It's true that we are recipients of a very, very generous support by the U.S., which provides for Israel's military power. The big question is there any rate of return on that American investment in Israel? And there is a very significant rate of return. Only recently, Israel terminated testing the F-35, which we received from the United States. Terminating that process of testing the F-35 resembles battle-tested laboratory, which we have been for many years for the American defense industry. Mm-hmm. But in the process, not only do we test the American military systems, and we're using hundreds of American military products, but in the process, we provide the U.S. manufacturers with our own lessons of using those systems. Those lessons upgrade appreciably the quality, the effectiveness of the American military systems. It saves the U.S. years of research and development. It enhances the competitiveness of those national defense products, and therefore increases American exports and expands the American employment base, all of which is only an addition to what we have done with the U.S. in developing cyber technology for the benefit of both countries, sharing with the U.S. with our intelligence on Islamic terrorism, which has spared many lives to the U.S., to Israel, and other allies of both countries. The bottom line is, when it comes to third down and 10 yards to go, the American quarterback knows it can trust the Israeli wide receiver to receive the ball and score the winning touchdown.
Well, we can tell that you've spent time in the United States. You use the football analogies.
Absolutely.
Well, and I can speak to this as well. I mean, I've been to Israel many times. I've been to the military bases. I've had the briefings with the military leaders. I've been to the drone manufacturing places. I've looked at all that. But I've also experienced firsthand the successful nature of the Iron Dome when I was there during the last conflict with Gaza, when the rockets were coming in. We were protected by the Iron Dome. So there is no better ally in terms of sharing resources, but also knowledge and understanding, because, you know, we realize this is a dangerous world and we have to stick together. Let me, before we run out of time, Ambassador, let me ask you this final question is, on the, you know, after the UN taking this action, I don't see President Trump backing down one bit. What's the outcome of this? What do we see ahead?
Well, it seems to me that the president has decided to send a signal that gone are the days when the U.S. Subordinates its own interests to Arab pressure, Muslim threats of, or threats of Muslim terrorism, and the refusal by prior administrations to relocate the embassy of the U.S. from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem sent a message to the world at large, to the Middle East, that the U.S. Cannot be trusted very much, because the U.S. does retreat in face of pressure. For President Trump to announce that recognition of Jerusalem as the capital of Israel and the future site of the American embassy puts an end to that demonstration of weakness by prior administration. That is a reassuring sign, not primarily for Israel, by the way, but primarily for Arab allies of the U.S. who doubt America's steadfastness, who have doubted that in the last 8 years. Saudi Arabia will be reassured, so will Egypt and Jordan and Bahrain. We will hear much talk against that decision, but the main thing is not to pay attention to the talk. The main thing is to pay attention to the walk, which I believe will be much more positive.
I agree. Ambassador, thanks so much for joining us. Great to hear from you again. Look forward to seeing you maybe in the spring when we're over in Israel. Don't go away. When we come back, we're going to Bethlehem, Israel. That's next.
This Christmas season, give with purpose and meaning, a gift that protects life, marriage, and religious liberty. At Family Research Council, our mission is to promote these three core values in public policy and the culture from a Christian worldview. We are working to ensure that our religious liberty is defended in the public square, that human life at all stages is protected, and that family values are promoted in our country's public policies. Your giving can make an eternal difference for your community and for our future generations. And if you give between now and December 31st to Family Research Council, your gift will be matched, meaning it will be doubled by a generous donor. And any donation is tax deductible. Give with purpose this Christmas season. Text FRC to 444-999. Again, that is text FRC to 444-999. Thank you for standing with us. FRC wishes you and your family a Merry Christmas and a blessed New Year. Having a hard time finding that right gift for your family and friends? Need some ideas? Check out Family Research Council's online store and browse the latest books, mugs, trendy t-shirts, baby bibs, tote bags, and more. Your purchase of these items will support FRC and our mission to advance faith, family, and freedom in public policy and the culture from a Christian worldview. Some of our exclusive items include a unique in-house design DC t-shirt featuring a skyline of the monuments in our nation's capital, a cute baby bib with some pro-life flair, and a stylish tote bag with a Bible verse from 1 John 4:19 that says, "We love because He first loved us." Go to frc.org/store now to start shopping. Again, that is frc.org/store. Thank you for standing with us. FRC wishes you and your family a very Merry Christmas and a blessed New Year.
Is being right enough to win an election? Many tend to believe that being right, in the sense of being factually correct, is sufficient to win in politics. Unfortunately, political history proves otherwise. The candidate who organizes and communicates the best will beat the opposition, no matter how right the other side is. Christians who are running for public office have a moral obligation to study and learn how to win. They must discover the real nature of politics. Robert Arnakis knows how to win. As senior director for the Leadership Institute, the nation's premier public policy training organization, he has 15 years of grassroots organizing, campaign, fundraising, and communications experience, and has established himself as one of the country's top political trainers. Here, Mr. Arnakis discusses the real nature of politics and how to overcome the odds to win an election. Go to frc.org/speakers to view this timely discussion.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. So glad that you are with us on this Thursday afternoon. All right, we're getting ready to celebrate Christmas. It is one of my favorite times of year, probably the most favorite time. It just everything kind of slows down for a moment and you spend time with family and friends. But when we talk about Christmas and we talk about celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ, we really can't talk about that without talking about Bethlehem. I mean, that is the place where Jesus was born. And a few years ago, I had the privilege of actually going to Bethlehem and going into the Church of the Nativity. Even more exciting than that is that I have some good friends in Bethlehem. In fact, the pastor of First Baptist Church of Bethlehem is joining me from the city of Bethlehem. Dr. Naim Khoury, he's been pastoring there for 40 years. He's a Arab Christian who is an Israeli citizen, and he serves the Palestinian community there in upholding the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Pastor Khoury, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you. It's good to be with you, Brother Tony. Merry Christmas to all of you, to all your listeners today.
Well, and that's a special wish coming from Bethlehem. And you and I were talking earlier. There's a little tension there in Bethlehem this time of year.
Yes, there is a tension concerning the announcement of Donald Trump concerning Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. And, you know, there is riots and uprising and difficulties and problems. And, you know, it's not easy on us. And that makes our ministry, it's more difficult and more hard.
In fact, the demographics of Bethlehem have changed a lot over the last several decades. I mean, about 90% of the population is Muslim, and so you are already in a pretty tense situation there in Bethlehem.
Yes, it's not like used to be from 1967 till today, you know, used to be 85%. Now, I think less than 10%. That's a tragedy. And I think this is a disaster.
Yeah. And let's talk about the kind of the political climate there in terms of, I know several Palestinian areas have said that they're not going to celebrate Christmas or allow Christmas demonstrations or recognitions there because of this decision by Donald Trump. And the Trump administration, I've spoken to the president about this. I mean, he and you are have been very clear about your support of Israel. Even as a Palestinian there, as a Arab Christian, you're very supportive of Israel. Do you think this is that we're going to see peace in that region?
As far as I know, in the present time, I don't see there is any sign or close to a sign to have peace between the Arabs and the Jews. And I can see more escalation toward violence and difficulties and problems till something, unless something interfere between the Palestinians and the Israelis, I don't think we will be on a safe side.
So how is this? How is the current environment for you and your church? I know last time we spoke, there was issues with the Palestinian Authority. They would not recognize your marriages. They would not recognize giving birth certificates to your people. Has there been any change there?
Yeah, we still have that problem. We're still fighting for our rights, and I believe it is a way of discrimination against our evangelicals. And I hope, and this message to all the congressmen, to Vice President, to Mr. Trump, to President Trump, where are the voice of the evangelicals in America to defend evangelicals who preaches the gospel and not having a freedom to worship and freedom to act and to do whatever legal paper to do? Where are the evangelical leaders and the President of the United States and the Vice President and the Congressmen and the Senators to stand with us? Where are they?
And
I hope they can hear me today, and this is a message to them. I would like to hear their voice. I would like to hear them talking about what we go through.
Explain to our listeners, and we're almost up against a break, so I'm going to ask, we're going to take a break and we're going to come back, but explain to our listeners how, you know, Bethlehem, they know it's in Israel, but it's under Palestinian control. It's under the Palestinian Authority. So they actually are the ones that provide the government there. So it's they're the ones that are behind these restrictions.
Yes, yes. I'm talking about the Palestinian Authority. I'm not talking about Israel. Israel, that different story. But we're talking about the Palestinian Authority are really freezing or, you know, consider our church is the legitimate church in Bethlehem and the West Bank. And I think that's not fair in the eyes of God. And that's not fair in the eyes of evangelical leaders like United States of America and the president and the people of the United States of America.
Yeah, folks, we're going to continue this conversation with Dr. Naeem Khoury, pastor of First Baptist Church of Bethlehem. He's joining us from Bethlehem, Israel. We're going to continue this conversation with him on the other side of the break. So stick around. Don't go away, because this is very important. Congress is taking up legislation. In fact, they were working on this with some of the appropriations bills, because we provide you as a taxpayer provides a lot of money to the Palestinian Authority, and yet they are restricting the rights of Christians in a very significant way. So we're going to talk about that on the other side of the break. You're listening to Washington Watch. We're coming back, so don't go away.
Spend a semester in Washington, D.C. with Family Research Council through our internship program. You will get a chance to experience the rich history and culture of our nation's capital and be immersed in the most important political debates of our day by working to advance family values in a professional work environment under the oversight and mentorship of FRC experts and scholars. The internship program includes free housing just a block away from Capitol Hill and the Supreme Court, as well as a paid stipend. Learn more at frc.org/internships.
Is being right enough to win an election? Political history proves otherwise. The candidate who organizes and communicates the best will beat the opposition, no matter how right the other side is. Christians who are running for public office have a moral obligation to study and learn how to win. They must discover the real nature of politics. Robert Arnakis is one of the country's top political trainers. Hear him discuss the real nature of politics and how to overcome the odds to win an election at frc.org/speakers.
The Family Research Council had the pleasure of hosting Dr. Michael Paulson to speak about how Christians can respond to arguments against religious liberty. Dr. Paulson argues that religion is different and deems exemptions within the law. A religious person believes in God, and God's sovereignty requires complete devotion, whereas government only requires allegiance and civil duties. The Constitution itself treats religion differently, giving America religious liberty and the freedom to exercise. Visit frc.org/university to hear more about this issue.
If you had to make a law, where would you start? America's founding fathers determined law from a fixed source, God, but culture has shifted the focus to man's self-determined law. If truth is no longer determined by God, it becomes subjective and open to interpretation. In an incisive new paper, Peter Johnston traces the origins of these dangerous trends in American law and the importance of staying true to our founding principles. To view FRC's new publication, go to frc.org/decay.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. Glad to have you with us on this Thursday afternoon. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it is at T Perkins. All right, and be sure to check out that website. As I mentioned before, this program is made possible only because of folks like you that partner with us. So you can make a donation, contribution, partner with us. And between now and the end of the year, anything you give will be doubled by a generous donor. So either give us a call. We've got folks standing by, 800-225-4008, 800-225-4008, or go to TonyPerkins.com. All right, Dr. Naeem Khoury, pastor of First Baptist Church, Bethlehem, my guest. Dr. Khoury, thank you for staying over the break.
Thank you.
Let's talk about this issue, and we've actually brought members of Congress to your church. We've sat there, and you've explained this to them, that because Israel has given you these areas called the West Bank, which is actually Eastern Europe. I mean, we're talking Bethlehem is in part of that, that the Palestinian Authority has control over that, and so they set the rules, and there is not the freedom that many enjoy in other parts of Israel. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
So what can our Congress do?
You know, we ask, I mean, since the congressmen, several congressmen visited us in Bethlehem, we explained to them the situation. But I'm sorry to say the last 4 years, nothing has been done concerning our situation. And I think it is time to stand up with evangelicals who are really facing difficulties and facing a lot of challenges overseas, like Bethlehem, the West Bank. For us, you know, it's a illegitimate church as evangelicals. Only the Palestinian Authority recognized the traditional Christian churches, but not evangelicals at all. And that's why we are asking our rights to be recognized by the Palestinian Authority and by Israel, too.
So, Dr. Corey, as we have folks all across this country listening into this program, lots of Christians, lots of pastors, how can we be praying for our brothers and sisters in Christ that are there, not only in Bethlehem, but in other parts of the Middle East? How can we be praying for you on this Christmas?
I think they need to pray, first of all, for safety, for secondly, to pray that the Lord will strengthen them, to keep their eyes on the Lord. I'm sure it's easy to talk about it, but to live it day by day, it's not easy. But we are asking God's people to pray every day for safety and security, and for the Christians to stand for the gospel and to be really strong believers with a strong faith, claiming Jesus is the Savior, Jesus is the way to heaven, and only Jesus can help us.
Well, as we will do that, and we'll encourage folks to pray, but before I let you go, I want to I want you to just give us a kind of a picture of why and how Bethlehem so special for Christmas. I mean, this is the place of Jesus' birth.
You know, Bethlehem, it's a special because this is the only city in the whole world where the first miracle took place, the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as the angels announced, a Savior is born in Bethlehem. His name, Christ the Lord, Emmanuel, God with us. And that's why where Christianity started from Bethlehem to all over the world. That's why it's a very unique, that's a very, very special city in the Bible to us and to the whole world. It's a very, very special. That's why, not only in our eyes, but also in the Lord's eyes and God's eyes. The place where he was born 2,000 years ago in the city of Bethlehem.
And the peace toward all men who accepted the reign of Jesus Christ in their hearts.
Amen.
And in their lives.
Amen.
Can enjoy that peace, and it was to all people.
And the only peace we can have, it's the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ. The peace of this world is temporary, but the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ lasts forever and ever. And Jesus is coming back again. I'm sure we are living the last days, and Jesus is coming soon. Hallelujah.
Well, I cannot think of a better authority to take that from than you, that we can live in peace in this world when you're right there in the midst of turmoil. But sitting on the very soil, standing there where Jesus was born. And it's so good to talk with you, Dr. Corey. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Brother Tony, and thank all of your listeners. Wish you Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to all of you.
Thank you. Merry Christmas to you, and please tell your family I said Merry Christmas as well.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
And we look forward to seeing you in April as well when we're
Amen.
Over there in
Amen.
Israel.
Amen.
Well, folks, we're up against a break. Don't go away. We're coming back with more Washington Watch on this Thursday afternoon in just a moment.
Are you interested in making a real impact in public policy and culture? And are you looking for an internship experience at a Christian organization in the heart of our nation's capital? If the answer is yes, spend a semester in Washington, D.C. with Family Research Council through our internship program. You will get a chance to experience our country's rich history and culture and be immersed in the most important political debates of our day. Further, you will develop the skills required to advance faith, family, and freedom in our nation. Family Research Council's internship program includes free housing just a block away from Capitol Hill and the Supreme Court, as well as a paid stipend. As an intern, you will gain invaluable public policy experience in a professional work environment under the oversight and mentorship of FRC experts and scholars. Learn more about the FRC internship program at frc.org/internships. Again, that is frc.org/internships.
Having a hard time finding that right gift for your family and friends? Need some ideas? Check out Family Research Council's online store and browse the latest books, mugs, trendy t-shirts, baby bibs, tote bags, and more. Your purchase of these items will support FRC in our mission to advance faith, family, and freedom in public policy and the culture from a Christian worldview. Some of our exclusive items include a unique in-house design DC t-shirt featuring a skyline of the monuments in our nation's capital, a cute baby bib with some pro-life flair, and a stylish tote bag with a Bible verse from 1 John 4:19 that says, "We love because He first loved us." Go to frc.org/store now to start shopping. Again, that is frc.org/store. Thank you for standing with us. FRC wishes you and your family a very Merry Christmas and a blessed New Year.
If you had to make a law, where would you start? America's founding fathers determined law from a fixed source, God, but culture has shifted the focus to man's self-determined law. If truth is no longer determined by God, it becomes subjective and open to interpretation. In an incisive new paper, Peter Johnston traces the origins of these dangerous trends in American law and the importance of staying true to our founding principles. To view FRC's new publication, go to frc.org/decay.
The Family Research Council had the pleasure of hosting Dr. Michael Paulson to speak about how Christians can respond to arguments against religious liberty. Dr. Paulson argues that religion is different and deems exemptions within the law. A religious person believes in God, and God's sovereignty requires complete devotion, whereas government only requires allegiance and civil duties. The Constitution itself treats religion differently, giving America religious liberty and the freedom to exercise. Visit frc.org/university to hear more about this issue.
City sidewalks, busy sidewalks, dressed in holiday style. In the air, there's a feeling of Christmas.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Glad to have you with us. Website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it is at T Perkins. And let me just remind you that this program is made possible because of folks like you across the country that are willing to partner with the Family Research Council. And if you would like to do that, let me encourage you. Any gift that you pledge that you make between now and the end of the year will be matched by a very generous donor. And we've got folks standing by. Give them a call, 800-225-4008, 800-225-4008, waiting to take your phone call. And we just invite you to become partners with us. You can also do that online at TonyPerkins.com. As we're winding up the year and kind of taking, a little different view, I wanted to invite one of my favorite members on to come and talk about the importance of Christmas in especially given what all's been happening here in recent days. Congressman Ted Poe represents the 2nd Congressional District of Texas and a frequent guest on our program. Ted, want to welcome you back to Washington Watch.
Thank you, Tony. I appreciate it very much.
And let me say Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you and everybody that listens to your show.
Well, I know you're going to be getting back to Texas for Christmas, but as we wind up this year, and you earlier in the year announced that you're not going to seek reelection after this term, you're going to retire and go back full time to Texas. And I want to take just a moment to kind of look back over this year, and also kind of. As you've served in Congress, the importance of some of the things that we do here in Washington, but the significance is really felt, when this time of year, the things that we do, spending time with family, friends, and celebrating Christmas, expressing our faith, that's really the reason we do a lot of the things that we do here.
That's exactly correct, Tony. Christmas is a good time for a lot of reasons, but one of those is it puts life in perspective. And I think those of us who are Christians, we have a somber recollection of life and hope and the purpose of life. And I think Christmas puts a smile on our face because of the great event of Jesus's birth and him coming to the world in very humble circumstances. And the only purpose he came was to save us. And as soon as he came in, people were trying to kill him. And we all know the Bible story, and they tried throughout his life and eventually did. But it was the beginning of his life was the beginning of hope mm-hmm. for the whole world. To me, it puts life in perspective, why we're here, and we want to be like Jesus, and all he did was do things for other people, all kinds of things for people. And that, you know, that's part of our job, is to help people and do things for other people while we're here on earth, make life better for them as well. So, yeah, Christmas is a great time to have reflection.
Right.
And those of us that have been, I've been battling leukemia, and good Lord's taking care of me now, and it puts that in perspective too. Those of us who have had major health issues, and it's a good time to reflect on how really blessed we are.
When you, I was going to mention that because we were praying for you. In fact, I remember praying on. I believe we prayed on the air as we put the word out there to our listeners. When you were diagnosed with that cancer, you know, that does cause you to stop for a moment and reflect on life when you're not sure how much life you've got left. I mean, David, the psalmist said, Lord, help us to count our days. I mean, we should all do that, but sometimes you have events that occur that cause you to do that more intensely.
No question about it. And I appreciate every day more than I ever have. Because of that, we know that the good things we get in life, really, they come from the Lord. And so, yes, and I appreciate those prayers because they have obviously worked. I'm doing great, and I have always appreciated that. One thing about Jesus, Jesus was a public servant. He served the public. He wasn't an elected official, but he was a servant and a good role model for those of us who want to, in a different way, serve the public, and how we should strive to be like he was as a public servant. And I know a lot of times we don't look at Jesus as that way. He did pick the hardest two professions in the world, preaching and being a carpenter. You know, both of those are the hardest two professions. But he also was a public servant. And we, those of us in Congress that are Christians, we look to him as a role model on how we should serve the community.
Yeah, and when we read of Isaiah's account of the prophecy of his birth, we also look at the prophecy of his return, and he's going to return as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Handel has that in his Messiah. And when he does that, though, he's not going to be an elected servant because he's not looking for our vote to get there. He's going to be there as King of Kings and Lord of Lords forever. And Congressman Ted Poe, as you mentioned Jesus, you mentioned his birth, humble beginnings. Earlier in the program, we had Dr. Curry on, who you and I know from Bethlehem, First Baptist Church, Bethlehem. We actually were in his church together when you and I went to Israel with a larger group of members of Congress a few years back. That was an amazing experience to be there in Bethlehem. Not quite like I had envisioned from the various stories. It was just fascinating to me to be there in Bethlehem.
Oh, it certainly was, and just the name Bethlehem and coming into the town of Bethlehem and being there knowing that Jesus was born there, is prophesied that he'd be born there, and being in his hometown, and then being in church, still tenuous circumstances. The church there has a lot of enemies, but yeah, we were there, and it was very it was inspirational to me to be there, and I know it was for everybody else too. And the church is still there in Bethlehem, talking about Jesus, which is great.
Yeah, and I was actually sharing this with my congregation recently as I was talking about Dr. Corey and his experience. That church bombed over a dozen times. He'd been shot 3 times. That's a place where Jesus was born. Of course, it's 90% Muslim now, a hostility toward the gospel. But if you'll recall, I mean, he was just filled with joy and hope, and I mean, it truly a reflection of the gospel and the message of Jesus Christ.
That's right. He is preaching it no matter what happens to him or to the congregation, and he does have a joy, a happiness in doing that. And he was quite a guy to meet. And, you know, Jesus' birth, Herod went into Bethlehem and killed a bunch of the babies that he thought maybe he could get the Messiah. And so the church, Jesus, Christianity, if you will, is still being persecuted Bethlehem by people who just don't like Christians, hate Christians. But the pastor there... he had a remarkable outlook on his role, and he also was a good example of how we are to be, and let us know, and let others like me know that there are places in the world where Christianity is persecuted, and by persecution, it's not just being talked bad about,
right?
They're being harmed. Members of Christians are being harmed.
And it's a reminder for us to pray for them, especially this time of year. As we celebrate the birth of Christ, there are Christians around the world in places like the Middle East, even there, you know, in Bethlehem and other places in the Middle East where they have to do so, you know, with great caution, and they do so at great risk. And so we just need to be mindful of that and praying for them and continue to pray that the light that shined there in the dark world in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago will continue to shine through our lives. Congressman Ted Poe, I want to, before we run out of time, I've been asking some of our guests here in recent days, kind of the special nature of Christmas, but more of kind of the personal side of it in terms of what are some of the traditions in the Poe household? What are the things that you look forward to this time of year?
Well, it's always about getting the family together, and now the family includes 12 small, young grandkids, and we get them all together at our place. We'll reread the scriptures about the birth of Jesus so that they know at a very young age that Christmas is about, there's a purpose for Christmas, and it's not Santa Claus, it's Jesus Christ. He's that reason, as we say, for the season. So we read the Christmas story, usually on Christmas Eve, and people talk about things that they are grateful for. And one of the things that we do, my wife and I do, for our kids and now our grandkids, we give them an amount of money on Christmas that they are to spend on doing things for other people. And they make the decision what they're going to do, and they keep a Christmas journal, and they write it down, and then the next Christmas they take turns, all of them take turns talking about how they spent the money and what good things they did. And so that's one of our traditions. It's probably one of the best things that we do, because it's inspiring what those little kids do for other people, and so that's the way we give. to our kids and our grandkids, and then they give to others. I would certainly recommend people think about doing that. That's one of our traditions. And of course, we sing those Christmas carols, and sometimes we go in the neighborhood and do it, but mostly just with the family.
Well, with 12 grandkids, you got a choir there. I mean, you got enough. You can move around the neighborhood.
Well, kids singing about Jesus is about as good as it gets.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely, and that's a neat tradition in terms of giving to your kids to teach them to give. Because you know we've talked about this on the program, so not necessarily that tradition. That's a great tradition, but the benefits of giving, and when we give, and it's biblical, but we see it in the social sciences. When we give, we're blessed. We're blessed by that, and so what you're doing is you're giving them the ability to be blessed by blessing other people.
That's right. It's all about giving. That's it, you know. And so that's what we do.
And of course, that's what Christmas is about, because God gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. That is the gift, and so I think that's a very significant way to give to others, is give them the ability to pour into the lives of others throughout the course of years. That's pretty neat. And that's one of the things we're just kind of, as we talk with different ones, kind of getting their family traditions and hopefully seeding the minds of others who may not have family traditions to go out there and do the same. And I assume, Congressman Ted Poe, that there, in addition to the caroling, that there are some Christmas cookies, and what would be your favorite Christmas dish?
Oh, I like turkey.
Turkey.
Yes, sir.
I'm not a turkey guy. I like the, I kind of like the ham myself, the sweet ham, but that's just me. Ted, let me just say Merry Christmas, and say thank you for the work that you do here in Washington, D.C. in Congress. You've been a great friend. It's been great to have you on the program throughout the course of the year, and just appreciate the stand that you take. And as I told you when I heard you were going to retire, I'm very mixed emotions about that. I hate to see you go. You've been a great source of truth, and I think you bring your Christian faith, as I think we should, to your office in serving your constituents and, quite frankly, serving the country. So I thank you for that.
Well, thank you, Tony. And our Christian faith, that's the basis for me. Everything I do, don't always live up to the example, but that's the basis of decision-making and living life. And that all comes back into focus when we have Christmas every year. Just a great time of the year. That and Easter Sunday, those two events are just marvelous events.
They certainly are. Congressman Ted Poe, again, Merry Christmas. Thank you so much. Have a blessed time with your family, and by all means, sing loud when you Christmas carol. Folks, we're out of time. Thank you for joining us. Merry Christmas, and let me again leave you with the words of the Apostle Paul. When you've done everything you can do, when you've prayed, when you've prepared, and when you've taken your stand, by all means, keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is a production of the Family Research Council in Washington, D.C. For more information on anything you heard today, or if you'd like to find out how you can support the ongoing efforts of the Family Research Council, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our new watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.